So we got through the first three verses here on Wednesday, and I want to preach another message to you here and go through these a little bit, and we're probably only going to hit verse 4. Wait, I think. Yep, verse 4. That's probably it. Verse 4 today. There's a lot to talk about. But I want to explain this to you. This message is going to be called The Antichrist and the Temple of God. And I kind of want to explain to you how both of those correlate and what it exactly means when the Bible says the Temple of God and the Antichrist and his place here in this situation, in the end times. This is describing the end times. This is describing what is going to take place, I believe. And I believe it is more than what people think. It is all-encompassing. It is not just a physical place. I believe it's a spiritual place. I believe it is spiritual and physical. I do not believe that it is one or the other. I believe it is both. I believe it is everything. It is the mind of a man. It is the heart of a man. It is the soul of a man. And it is a literal place. All right? So it is the center. Right? It is the center where the throne of God is. So I'm going to kind of explain that to you here and show you what I believe the Bible is teaching us about this. And I believe specifically a lot will be revealed to us as time goes on. But I think there's going to be a lot here that is explained today as we kind of cover some different things and go back and forth. So we're going to go through the first few verses, pray, and then we're going to get right into it here. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. So there's the apostasy, the falling away. We talked about that. We explained that on Wednesday, what that falling away is and how those people are not saved. They never were saved. They were false professors and they fall away from the faith. You know, and we describe that by the soil that we see, or the seed that was planted, and on what soil it is planted on. If it's good ground, if it's stony ground, if it's whatever ground it is, if it's good ground, it produces good fruit, right? And it has deep root. But in these other grounds, there is no root. And in this, there is no root. You know, they're not anchored in. And that's why as soon as the winds and the storms of persecution and tribulations and trials come in, they are blown away. They're just blown away and they're gone. Satan snatches the seed. He is able to snatch the seed out of their heart. And he's able to take it from them and he's able to destroy them. And they end up apostatizing from any faith and walking away. They fall away from the truth. Right? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. That's the next phase. The man of sin will be revealed. The son of perdition, describing who he is. We've talked about those titles before. He is the son of Satan, the son of perdition. He will be, I believe, a mock of the incarnation, the mystery of iniquity, it's called. He will be that, and the mystery of iniquity doth already work, the Bible says. So we see that. That's that spirit. That's the spirit of apostasy that preps the false prophets to prepare the way for the Antichrist. That spirit has already gone out into the world. That spirit is already out of the world, preparing the world to receive a false Christ. Jesus warned about that in the end times, that spirit would go out, and it already was present in the world at that time, and it would go out, and it would influence the world. It would prepare the world for the Antichrist. It would make his path straight. Okay? It would, and that's what that spirit of Antichrist does. It is already at work today, waiting for the manifestation of the Antichrist to come on the scene. And preparing the world through false translations, false Bibles, false teaching, false prophets, to deceive the world. That's why over and over and over again, let no man deceive you by any means. It is told to us all over. Paul says it. Peter says it. Jesus said it. John said it. It says, let no man deceive you. So don't be deceived. There's a false Christ. There's a false Christ and a false book. And that is coming. There's going to be signs and lying wonders. There's going to be false wonders that are going to be shown. All of this is preparatory for the coming of the Antichrist. Now, it says here that this is the verse we're on, number 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Now that is a very loaded verse right there, and it. You have to, we're going to pray and then I'm going to kind of explain some things to you. You've got to get your mind in the right context to receive this and to understand what the Bible is saying here. If you read it out of context, if you don't read, I should say, I don't think anybody reads it out of context as much as I don't think they think about the entire context of it. The entire, the huge, scope of it. They're too narrow with the way they interpret it, I believe. And they don't see the whole picture. You got to understand what he's saying here. You got to understand the words that are being used here. These words mean something. They're important. So I'm going to read the verse. I'm going to explain it to you. And then I've got a lot. And I don't know how long it's going to take. It'll probably take me at least an hour probably to get through this with you. But hang on. I think you'll learn some things if you pay attention closely about this and about the Antichrist and about what the end times, what the plans are, what Satan's plans are. All right. Whoso opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is the let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you be with us now. Help us, dear God, as we look through this, as we try to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Help us, Lord. Teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped. You've got to take some key words there that are very important. Opposeth, exalteth, those are important terms. But there's another term that encompasses the entire subject. That if you miss this word, you kind of miss out on the interpretation or the context of what's going on here. There's one word that is extremely important there. That word is worship. Worship is the word that brings it all together and makes the entire thing make sense. If you understand worship, then you will understand what the Bible is talking about here, because that is everything. Now read it in the context of worship. Because what does he say? Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Wow. Let's stop there for a second. Think about that. He stands against and he exalts himself above all divine authority. Now, I'm going to read you some verses later that we're going to kind of go back and forth a little bit. There's a ton of other verses that I just found on that I think are important. So there's a lot here. In just this Antichrist in the temple of God, there's a ton of stuff here. I mean, so much so that we can only get through one verse. And I hope I have time to finish it. Well, I do. I have all day, I guess. So we have to leave this afternoon. You might get hungry, but that's okay. You've been hungry before. Good. Amen. You guys ate like 16,000 pancakes, so Scott had quiche, right? I saw what you had. I don't know what Giannis had. Did you eat pancakes, Giannis? You did 2? 4. Amen. All right. Well, let's get back to this. Jacob had like 10, didn't you, Jacob? Did you go? You saved room for lunch because you have a steak that big? Awesome. Garrett took Benadryl. I don't know what he did. Okay, anyway. All right, I'll move on. Who opposeth and exalteth himself, right? He stands against. He exalts himself above all divine authority. All that is called God. Think about that for a second. That is anybody's concept of God. Any and every concept of God, he exalts himself above. And we're going to get into why. And how? Okay? Above every object of adoration. Above every institution relative to divine worship. Himself being the source whence everything must originate. Don't you see? See, here's the thing. He wants worship. He's going to get worship. The whole world is going to wonder after the beast. Do you understand that? That all ties in. You got to tie it into Revelation 13, which we will, because you violate Romans 13. So then you tie it into Revelation 13, because it is an all-encompassing system. This temple, spiritual and physical, will be the height of world worship. The height. All-encompassing. You will not have to be there to worship in that temple. Are you following me? But you, if you are in it, when I say we, I don't mean we, I mean they will not have to be there, okay, to worship in that temple. That temple, I believe, will be in their heart and on their mind. And every eye shall see it. They will know. They will know. It'll be beamed into their mind somehow, and they will know. I don't know exactly how yet, but it's coming. Did you ever wonder how the Antichrist, you think about this, because here's what you have to wonder, and oh my goodness, I don't have a lot of time to go on this, because we could go on this all day. But think about this for a second, okay? I feel like I walk on this side too much. I got to walk over here. I got to scream at Scott. I don't scream enough anymore. What's the matter with me? Anyway, don't worry. Stay tuned. It's coming. Right? Jacob's missing it, don't you, Jacob? But think about this for a second, okay? How in the world is this man going to come on the scene and in an instant he is going to put the puzzles together, right? Every world religion is going to unite under this man and worship him and his system. Are you following me? And this temple has everything to do with it. They say that Jerusalem is the cradle, right, of world religions. Okay? Says it is. It's where all the world religions have come. I believe that temple is going to be there. I believe Rome is going to have something to do with it. I believe some form of the Roman Catholic Church is going to have something to do with it, but I do not believe it's going to be the entirety. I believe it's going to be a piece that fits the puzzle together. But I don't believe Rome is going to encompass all of it. No, 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 no. I believe its seat is going to be in Jerusalem. I do believe that. I don't know how, but it's going to be there. I believe Rome is part of it. Rome is a piece of the puzzle to put it together. There is a political power. There is a religious power. It is going to come together. It is going to unite. There's a temple going there. Whether it's the Pope that puts the temple there or Donald Trump that puts the temple there. Right? Right? Shimon Peres, right? He signed off the rights to the Temple Mount to the Pope. So the Pope owns the rights to the Temple Mount. Right? So Rome is definitely part of it. Rome is a big player in the game, but Rome is changing. Now, something has to come together, though, to get all of these billions of people to agree that this man is the one that the world has been waiting for. This is the Superman. He is going to find something, or many things, in this worship of him that people are going to worship. They're going to worship him because he's going to have satanic power, obviously, because he is going to be Satan incarnate. But the thing is that he is going to have the power, and he's going to have the answers that no one has given. He's going to show you that, yeah, well, King David's land was here, and this was the kingdom here, right? And then he's going to show this, and he's going to say, yeah, and Muhammad was right, and this is why Muhammad was right, and this is why this one was right, and this is why they all come together. They were just missing the piece. See, Muhammad and Jesus and all these people, they just didn't have all the answers. Now I have all the answers. And that's why he's going to exalt himself above all that is called God. Because he is going to give all the answers. And it doesn't matter what he's going to say, right now anyway, but but he's going to have the answers, and it's all going to be centered around this worship, this temple. And I happen to believe that spiritually the answers are going to make sense to them because of the satanic power, which we're not going to talk about today, but I guess I'm going to have to talk about again when I talk about signs and lying wonders. Because I believe the signs and lying wonders are how all the world worships the beast, in the temple, with the temple, through the temple, whatever it is. That's how it's going to happen. But in the land of relativism that we live in now, right, whatever they want it to be is going to be agreeable to them because he's going to make it happen to them. Do you understand that? He's going to make them happy. They're going to be like, oh yeah, this is him. What that person is looking for, I'm not saying you, I'm just pointing because there's people there, but what that person is looking for, right? He's going to give them, that may not be what he's looking for. But he's going to pacify what he's looking for. Do you understand? He's going to give them the imaginations of their heart. So then that's the God that they want. And it exalts himself above all that is called God. Does that make sense? Does it make sense? That's how Satan does it. Right? That's it. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem like it worked us. Well, no, because truth is our standard. So it doesn't work for us. That's why the elect aren't fooled and we are like, you guys are idiots. What's the matter with you? Knock it off. No, they're not idiots. They're deceived by the devil. They're deceived. They're not dumb. They're deceived. Right? Remember, he said, let no man deceive you. So he opposeth. He's going to oppose everything. That is, he is distinguished as an opposer of the great system, of the great church that Jesus left. He's going to oppose it, all the truths. He's going to oppose salvation, the doctrines of the Word of God. He will oppose them, and he will oppose all who would serve God in purity in the gospel of his Son. He will oppose them. Because, you see, can't you already see the narrative forming now? You know, you Christians are the real problem. We can all get along, but you guys just won't bend. You just won't give in. You just won't let us turn your kids into trannies. You just won't give in, will you? Right? You just won't give in. You won't let us turn. You won't teach your kids that it's okay to be a homo. All these other people will. But you won't. You just won't give in, will you? See, they got to go. They're the only ones stopping everything. They're stopping the evolution. They're stopping evolution. They're stopping world progress. We've got to do something about them. They're the only ones. Why? Because they have a standard of truth, and it's the Bible. They have a standard of truth, and this man, he exalts himself above the book. And I'll show you how in a little while here too. That's what he's doing. Are you starting to figure it out? Is it starting to make sense? He exalts himself above all that is called God. That is, whether among the pagans or the Jews. Doesn't matter. Above a false God or the true God. He sets aside all divine law. He undertakes to legislate where God only has a right to legislate, and whose legislation was contrary to that of God. Where does he claim the dominion at? In the conscience of man. Do you understand that? He is an enemy to liberty of conscience. He is going to destroy that, just like Rome. If you don't agree with us, then off with your head. Right? It will be a form of dominionism in Revelation 13 that we see, that the worship will be forced. The mark, once you worship the beast, you are done. There's no turning back. The mark, the temple, the worship, all go together. All of it. All of it. They're inseparable. Because every time you see the mark, you see worship. Right? Every time you see mark, you see worship. Mark, worship, the mark. Them that receive the mark, they worship the beast. Them that receive the mark, they worship the beast. Over and over and over and over again. It's all tied together. And there is no liberty of conscience. He will assume dominion over the conscience. Man will virtually give it up. And he will take control of their mind. He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing of time. Do you see that? He's gonna speak great swelling words above. What is that? Above all that is called God. Above God's word. So the laws that are written in God's word, he's going to defy those laws. You know, like the genetic, the DNA that is written that God wrote. Yeah, he's going to rewrite it. He's going to change it. He's going to rewrite it. He's going to fix it. Yep. You go from Romans 13, which says that civil government only has authority in its proper place. Only rogue civil government takes the conscience of man and tries to control it, tries to force worship. Right? Revelation 13, the beast takes over the world, and the God of this world will manifest in the flesh. That is the mystery of iniquity. He'll exalt himself above all that is called God. I mean, the Pope is an example and a picture of this. Clement the VI, he even commanded the angels to admit into paradise without the alleged pains of purgatory certain souls. Right? But this is only a foreshadowing of the Antichrist. It's only a foreshadowing. The man of sin exalts himself above God. He sits in the temple that is in the church. That is the temple of God. I'll show you that. That is one of the temples of God. That is the one example of the temple of God. Right? Because that's the sense that Paul uses it, the term in. But it's used in different ways in the scriptures as well. So he has a power, religious power. He claims power that only belongs to divinity. He shows off signs and lying wonders. He lays a claim to miraculous power. Every one of these, he marks. Right? Think about how God works and think how Christ works. Turn to Psalm 138, verse 2. Brother Aaron and I were talking about this the other day, and he mentioned something, and then I added to it, and we kind of saw something here that's important. This is the way God works, but Satan works a different way. Satan is going to work a different way through the Antichrist. Psalm 138. All right. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple. There's that word again. See it? And praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. Watch this. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. But that's not what the devil's going to do. He opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. So what is he going to do? God lifts his word above his name. But that's not what the Antichrist does. He lifts his name above the word. See the opposite? Jesus said it, remember? John 5:43. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. He's going to come in his own name. Right? He's going to put his name above God. His name is going to be magnified. It's the opposite. Do you see how it's the opposite? It kind of makes you wonder about all these sacred namers. They're all antichrist. They're all worried more about exalting the name of God when God exalts his word above his name. See the difference? And that's why none of them have the gospel and they're all lost. Right? And they hate his word. You got to look in the Hebrew. You got to look in this. You got to look in that. No, it's right here. How come this isn't enough? Oh, it's too plain for you? Right, they do. They don't want to talk about the many names of God. Right. See, it's Antichrist, what they're doing. But you see the temple there. Now, the temple of God, let's talk about that. The temple of God, nine times Paul uses it. Or nine times in the Bible, it is, excuse me. Paul uses it four times. All referring to the church of God or a person. But let's look. Jesus used it. In Matthew chapter, let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Actually, Matthew chapter 21. Let's go there first. I'm going to actually go through that too. Matthew chapter 21. Right, is that what I said? 21, I believe. Yep. Let's see. Matthew 21, verse number 12. The Bible says, Matthew 21, 12, Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. So we see the temple of God is used there as a physical place that the Jews worship God. Now, why is that called the temple of God? Because it was built to worship God. Right? And God said that he would put his name there, right? And that he would dwell there, right? But it's bigger than just the building, the physical building, right? So follow me here, all right? In Matthew 26, 21, it says, and he said this fellow ought, Matthew 26, 61, okay? Because Jesus is also the temple of God, right? Jesus is the temple of God. Matthew 26, 61. And this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Why did he say that? Well, Jesus spoke of the temple of his body. But Jesus, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So Jesus is the temple of God. Right? You are the temple of God. As a person, okay? You are the temple of God. All right? 1 Corinthians 3:16, which I believe is very important here if you look at this verse. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, I want you to notice this next verse because it's a very important verse. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Man is the temple of God, okay? Him shall God destroy, it says. Now, notice that word defile is very important. Because defiling the temple is what the Antichrist does. That's why I believe it's more than one temple. Because he defiles all that is called God or that is worshipped. Anything that is that worships the God of the Bible is the temple. Anything that God built, right, is the temple. He built it, all right? So some people say, well, only saved people are the temple of God. Well, God gave you a heart, right? And he made you after his image. And God is to dwell in your heart, on the temple of your heart. So it's a picture there too as well. I'm not saying I have all the answers, but I'm saying it is interesting. Now, which temple ye are, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool. Okay, so he's explaining them. He's talking about the work that that man would do, okay, as a man. Now, 2 Corinthians 6:16. Talks about, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. Israel. God said he would walk in the midst of them, right? God said he'd walk in the midst of Israel, and then God said that he would walk in the midst of his church, right? Amen. So he'd walk in the midst of his church. Let's see here. Now, let's see. John 2:16, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing thou dost these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, right? And in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which he had said. Which Jesus had said. So he says the temple of 46 years, which is interesting, right? Because we talk about the 23 and the 23 chromosomes, right? We talk about the way that the body is made, right? Everything else like that. So it's interesting, right? Pastor Hager talks a lot about those things in his DNA series that he does. Revelation chapter 11, verse number 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. Now, I believe this is a coming event. And I believe they are going to build a temple. Revelation 11:1. I believe they are going to build a temple. And I believe they are going to institute probably sacrifices. People say, well, that can't be the temple of God because they did this. No, that doesn't mean it's not the temple of God. That doesn't mean that the purpose of it was to what? Right. The Antichrist is going to sit at that temple. Just like he's going to sit on the temple of the heart. Right? He said, but this is a literal temple that is being built. It's going to be built. Literal. See, I believe temple is used as an all-encompassing term of worship. It's worship. Right? 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 9 says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. So that word temple is used 204 times in the Bible. I believe the temple is everywhere where God puts his name and where he is worshipped. Right? Now, so we need to have something else that kind of ties it in that make it make sense. What else in the Bible would tell us of Satan's plans and the worship that he desires and the all-encompassing understanding, or having our understanding, all-encompassing understanding of worship in a physical place, a literal place, a spiritual place? It would have to be Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 13. Now follow along in that context, what we've been talking about. Are you ready? Okay, we talked about Satan, the Antichrist will arise, and he will what? He will speak blasphemous things, he will exalt himself, he will oppose and exalt all that is called God, right? So he's going to lift himself up in worship. Worship, remember that. Now Isaiah chapter 14, look at this. For thou hast said in thine heart, verse number 13. That's interesting, isn't it? Verse number 13. Yep, rebellion, right? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Right? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. So his throne, he's going to exalt worship. What does he want a throne for? Worship. Rulership. Above the stars of God. All of those other angels, all other principalities and powers, right? That's his goal. That's what he's going to do. Above the stars of God, I will sit. Okay, now watch. Who's this? I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. Apostate church. Right? Also Israel. All happening at one time. All culminating in the end. Right? All at one time. All coming together at the end. In the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Straight up. I will be like the Most High. Worshipped. Right? Now, go back and read what we had in 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Your second reference to that would be in Isaiah chapter 14. Same thing. Isaiah is describing the same event. Right? Above all that is called God or that is worshipped. Yeah, above. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Up into a high place, right. In a moment of time. Same thing. Yep. Yep. Didn't he take him to the top of the temple too? Right. See? Right. Matthew chapter 4. Right. Go there. Yep. Right. Exactly. That is the temptation of Antichrist. Exact same thing. Yep. Yep. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. Matthew 4:5. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Always wanting him to go down, apostatize, go down, fall away, go down, right. Fall down, go away, right. Yep. Yep. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. The falling away, fall down. It's the same thing that man is going to be offered, and he's going to take it. The Antichrist will take it. He'll be as God. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know. I haven't looked at it, so I couldn't say. I looked at 14, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I thought you were asking about chapter. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt myself above the throne. Yep. That's the future event. Yes, I don't think it's taken place yet. That's going to culminate in the Antichrist. Satan has done it, but the Antichrist is going to fulfill that. He is going to be the man that fulfills that. Because see, remember, now go all the way back to the garden. All right, go back to the garden, and what did he say? Ye shall be as gods. That was the offer. The Antichrist will accept the offer. Satan will completely fill him. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. Right. He's going to do what Jesus didn't do in Matthew 4. He's going to do. Right. He's going to get all the light and the power. And that's why now go to Revelation 13. There you go. Yeah, he did it in his heart. It was his imaginations. Remember, the imagination of his heart. Right. God knew his heart. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Give it all to him. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Worship, mark, temple. All goes together, right? All goes together, same thing. It's a place of worship, right? He is going to mock everything. Right? 1 Corinthians 3:17, we talked about defiling the temple of God. Him shall God. They were warned over and over again, don't defile the temple. Don't defile the temple. Don't defile the tabernacle. Right? That's the worship of God. Don't do that. Leviticus 15:31, thus shall you separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, that they die not of their uncleanness when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. Right? Leviticus 20, verse 3, and I will set my face against that man, and I will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Moloch to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name, which is what the Antichrist will do. Jeremiah 32, 34, but they set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it. Ezekiel 7, 22, my face will I turn also from them, and they shall pollute my secret place. For the robbers shall enter into it and defile it. Amos 5:26, but ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and chewen your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. That's the tabernacle. They're going to, and he said that they defiled it. Stephen preached the same thing. We're going to get to in Acts. Another verse, verse 12, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, and they shall make gardens and eat fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. That hasn't happened yet. Acts 15:15. To this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this will I return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. That's the counterverse to what you just heard. Acts chapter 7, verse number 47 to 48. Howbeit, now here's why I say it's worship, it's all-encompassing, pay attention. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? What did he just say? I made all these things. Right? Right. So wherever God is, see? 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of his spirit, of the Spirit. Then we have Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Talking about that heavenly tabernacle, talking about the high priest. Remember, it's where God is. God is everywhere, isn't he? Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. Right? Yeah, there's a true temple and a fake one, yep. Revelation 13:4, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. It's coming. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. See that? And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. You know, the temple, it was the proper symbol of the church. And an apostle trained amidst the Hebrew institutions would naturally speak of the church as the temple of God. So that is part of it. The temple at Jerusalem was regarded as the peculiar dwelling place of God on earth. When the Christian church was founded, it was spoken of as a peculiar dwelling place of God. We went through all those verses, right? The reign of the man of sin would be as if he should sit there. In the Christian church, he would usurp the place which God had occupied in the temple. He would claim divine attributes and homage. He would give laws and responses as God did there. He would be regarded as the head of all ecclesiastical power, the source from which all authority emanated. The same in the Christian church was God himself in the temple. Right? So the Pope is a picture of that. He sitteth in the temple. There can be no way that this is in reference to the Jewish temple solely, I believe. Paul, who wrote that ye are the temple of God, he understood the difference in both. But Paul understood that the temple of God, if you studied all through the scriptures, was used differently. But it's a temple is for what? Worship. Right? That's what it's for. But the Antichrist will exalt himself above all, above every object of worship, whether on earth or as Caesar or in heaven as God. The various prefigurations of Antichrist were men like Mohammed, Rome, Napoleon, and modern infidel secularism. Right? They contain only some, but not all of his characteristics. It is the union of all in some one person that will form the full Antichrist. That will come on the scene. As the Jesus of all types and prophecies constitute the fullness of God, right? Okay, so there's plenty of other verses there, but I want to take you to some of these Old Testament references here, or actually a few of these other ones, and get you to understand the beast, the system there. So turn to, let's go Revelation 14, since we're already there, verse number 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead and in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture in the cup of his indignation, and shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb, and in the presence of the Lamb. Right? Look, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. See that? No rest. No rest. Right? Completely taken. Right. Okay, and then Revelation 15. See the worship? Revelation 15. Verse 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand in the sea of glass, having the harps of God. They got the victory over the beast, right? And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Right? He wanted the temple. He wanted the worship. These got the victory over that, right? All right. Revelation 16, verse 2 through 12. Oh, verse number 1, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men, which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Right? And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers of the fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Right? They wouldn't repent. Revelation 19, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast. See that? And them that worshipped his image. There's the mark. There's the worship. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Right? Daniel chapter 9. Verse number 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. The abominations make it desolate, right? All right. Daniel chapter 11, verse number 35. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. We just heard that, didn't we? And shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. And shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. It's kind of weird, wasn't it? I wasn't speaking in tongues. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard. I don't believe that means he's a homo, really. I just believe that he doesn't care.
Right.
I don't think he cares about anything. Whatever. Yeah. He worships himself. Neither shall regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. Did we just read that? We did, didn't we, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. And at that time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen, with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overthrow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land. Mm-hmm. And many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. Remember? Yep. Yet he shall come to his end and none shall help him. Right? All right. Daniel chapter 12, verse number 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand into heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Right? And then Matthew chapter 24, verse number 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. The abomination that maketh desolate, right? Abomination of desolation. That's what I believe that has to do with the temple and the Antichrist. I believe it is all that is worshipped above all that is worshipped and all that is called God. It is a complete and utter control, right, of everything. Do I believe that there will be a temple rebuilt in Jerusalem? Absolutely, 100% believe it. Also believe that there will be 12 tribes. I literally... I do not believe that is figurative language. I believe it is absolutely literal. Yes, I do believe in a post-tribulation rapture, but I do not deny a returning of Israel, nor do I believe in replacement theology. I absolutely believe what God said in His Word. I do not believe it's figurative. I believe it's literal. Amen. I believe it's going to happen. And I believe that temple and the whole concept above all that is called God will be used. So if anybody ever, you ever hear anybody accuse me of, oh, you believe in replacement theology, or you believe this, you believe, no, I don't. I believe in a literal return. By the way, Spurgeon was post-trib too, and he believed in a literal return of Israel. I believe it. They're wicked. Yeah, the Bible calls them the enemy of the gospel. Of course they're wicked. No one's denying, I won't deny that. I know what they are. Right? That doesn't mean that, but the Bible says to love your enemies. Right? Hard pill for some to swallow. There's a lot of hate for Jewish people out there. A ton of hate. And you can see the rage. It's like a Haman rage they have. And you can see it when they have it. When they talk about it, it's like Haman. It's like Steven Anderson. He looks like Haman. He reminds, like if Haman would be here, that's what he would look like. That's what he reminds me of. He's got a little Haman rage. Hey, that's a good sermon. I think I'll preach that sometime. But it is. It's like he's got this like rage against Jewish people. There's like this utter hate for them. It's weird. It's really weird. It's really satanic is what it is. It's like a Martin Luther rage. When you read his writings, he said the same thing. Hitler, all of them, they all have this like rage. The Pope, he didn't change a bit. Yeah, Muslims, the whole thing, this is rage and hate. And you can see it all through the Bible, and then you see it in them. You know? So, and yeah, they're wicked, and there's no doubt about it. Absolutely. They were when God took them out of the land, they were wicked. You know? But anyway, and I don't think you should worship Israel like some fundamentalists do, and it's just ridiculous. But the truth of the matter is that Paul tells you how you're supposed to treat them. That means that they're there. Whew, that was real hard, wasn't it? Why would Paul tell you how to treat somebody or something that's not there or going to be there? You don't even need a degree to figure that out. That's just common sense. Right? But there's this desire to make the Jews the biggest enemy in the world. When it says this is the time of the Gentiles. I'm sorry, it's just funny. It's just ridiculous. Because it says it's the time of the Gentiles. And yeah, again, we can get off onto understanding, is there a Jewish cabal? Of course, there's all that. Absolutely. But there's also a Jesuit one that Caesar controls. So anyway, that's another story. But anyway, I hope it sheds some light on the Antichrist in the temple. We certainly can't exhaust it. I mean, there's so much to think about with that subject. But it's bigger than what I think we have looked at it. And the key to that is understanding worship and the concept of God. And when you understand that, then you can understand the whole thing better, I believe. God's going to reveal more as time goes on. You know, more makes sense. All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you all for all that you do for us, Lord. We are so blessed beyond what we deserve. And Lord, thank you that we have the Holy Ghost of God. And Lord, the elect are not going to be fooled. But dear God, those that are lost are going to be. And Lord, we just pray that the truth would come. We pray that to their hearts. We pray that we would be an example to them of the truth, Lord, and preach Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord, for the 1,600 some tracts we were able to hand out yesterday, Lord, at that event in the morning. And Lord, we thank God that they got the gospel in their hands. Many thousands, 1,000 people or more, 1,500 people got the gospel in their hands, Lord. And we just pray, Father, that you'd use that. Help us to be a light and a testimony around the world for you. Bless the time we have together, Lord, the work we do today, and bless the food to our bodies. And thank you so much for your church, Lord, and thank you so much for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.